was, kind of a guy goes to an improv class when he already has a girlfriend?
Yeah, that's a good point. What else is the point of going to an improv class?
Dear Shandy.
So very exciting day. We have two callers today.
Ooh, double the fun.
Yes, or the trouble, depending on how you look at it. Mm. Our first caller today is Haley. Welcome, Haley.
Hey, Haley.
Hi.
And so, Haley, could you tell us what city you're in or what region and how old you are? And then tell us your story.
Yeah, I am in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm 31. Don't tell anybody who casts anything, though.
I relate to that with singing, by the way.
We can cut that and just dub in 19.
Perfect. <Okay. laughs> And I, so I decided to stop drinking almost a full year ago. And it was kind of just a decision that I made after thinking about it for a long time. I didn't really have any sort of like rock bottom come to Jesus moment. It was just, I wanted to try it for 6 months and see how I felt. And then, it felt great, and I just haven't really seen any reason to start drinking again. So I feel really good about it. And I originally, when I first made that decision, because it was sort of like, I'll see how I feel after 6 months, I didn't know it was going to be like, well, from here on out kind of thing. So I didn't know what to put on dating profiles. And originally, I had a lot of angst about it. And I put, I think I first put sometimes, like maybe sometimes, but that really means probably not. And then after a while, that felt like kind of disingenuous. So I changed it to nothing. I just took it off entirely. And then more recently, I was like, but I feel really good about this. I'm going to put never. And I felt cool about that decision. And then it came up in conversation, actually, the day that my coworker introduced me to this podcast. By the way, my friend Rachel is your biggest fan, Charlene.
Oh, thank you, Rachel.
She loves you. So Rachel introduced me to the podcast. I listened to all three episodes at work that day. And then nice. Another coworker and I were talking about this kind of dilemma that I'd had that I wasn't really stressed about anymore. But he was like, oh, I think you're doing yourself a major disservice by saying that you never drink on your profile. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have, you know, an extra like sentence about it or anything. It's literally just in the preferences. Along with like, you know, if it says you're liberal or whatever and says never or no for depending on the platform or whatever. And he was like, I think that people will swipe left on you thinking that you are one of two things, which you're not. One being that you have a huge problem with like some relapse on the horizon or that you grew up really conservative and you're really uptight. Neither of which is who I am. And I then we kind of had a group discussion because I was like, well, my logic behind it is that if somebody is so bothered by the possibility of dating someone who doesn't drink, that might indicate a level of their own drinking that I'm just not really that interested in being around anymore. So I feel like if it does weed people out, that might be to my benefit of if that's, I mean, if you're so into partying that you can't hang with somebody who doesn't want to drink, and I still hang, like I still go everywhere. I will stay up super late. I will sing karaoke sober. I am.
How is that done? Like, tell me scientifically how you do that without drinking. I want to know.
It's well, I guess because I'm a total ham, so okay, just
there
baseline.
You go. I knew there was a reason.
Okay. So when I read your email, I have to commend you. You had the like one of the best written emails that we've gotten.
That's because she's not drinking.
Maybe it's there's a connection. It was just so funny, so articulate. It was both colloquial but also just like really perfectly constructed. It was just such a good email. I was like completely, my heart was a flutter reading your email. I was like, this is my person. So kudos to you on that. And second of all, when we discussed this, taking on your call, we had a pretty clear idea of what we thought we would tell you. And that's how we like to feel when we answer questions here. So yeah, I think we're going to let her rip.
Well, can I ask like 100 questions first?
Oh yeah, I do have one or two okay. as well.
You want to
You can go first. No, you have 100. I only have 2, so you go first.
Okay. So, number one, did this stopping of drinking coincide with any sort of quarantine? Was it kind of like, I'm quarantining, so I'm not going out, so I might as well see what not drinking's like?
I mean, that's definitely made the last 6 months like way easier, I guess, mm-hmm. in terms of there's not a lot of options to go out. But I made this decision in October. Okay. Like right before Halloween.
Gotcha.
Of 2019.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah,
okay.
Just considering when we'll air this.
And did you go on a lot of dates post not drinking?
In the like little bit of time we had before March 2020, not a ton, I guess. And initially, I did kind of isolate and just take a lot of time to myself to like take a lot of baths and drink a lot of tea. And then I sort of started coming out more. I didn't really do as much online dating. I go off and on online dating in general, just because I feel very ambivalent about it. And sometimes I hate it.
Good for you.
So I think I was kind of like over it anyway. I also felt so like angsty about how to present this decision there. But I did meet people out and like dated a couple people in like December. I'm trying to remember if I talked to anybody in February. I don't know. But December, I had like a thing where I like met a cute boy out at a club dancing. And I was like, oh, I can do this like with no alcohol involved. And it was so fun. And what was cool about it was that I knew that I liked him. It wasn't like, did I? Or was that just the wine? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Would you say you were drinking kind of, I don't know, a lot before? Was there... is it a drastic cutoff or was it more like the occasional thing?
It was like occasionally, but definitely on the bingier side.
Okay.
And like, because I learned to drink in a sorority at a school with a pretty big party culture. Habits early on were not great in terms of like moderating on a single night. I didn't drink every night. Or even like every week maybe, but when I went out, it was like, oh yeah, we're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So did you stop drinking partially because you felt like you had a tiny bit of a problem, or was it more just like, let's try this thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, there's such a like spectrum of problematic drinking before you get to what's classically considered an alcoholic, and there's so much stigma attached to being an alcoholic or joining like a recovery program or something. And I didn't really identify entirely with like all the criteria, but I felt uncomfortable enough in how I was drinking that yes, for me, it felt like it was a problem.
Okay.
Good for you. Congrats.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you feel much better.
I know people that could use that mindset for that moment of reflection.
Couple folks.
Yes. When you met the cute boy, I think in December you said, or January, you know, you kind of dated here and there after you made this decision and before March 2020. When you told a guy this, what was the general reaction?
Yeah. Okay. So I think this is partially why I feel like very okay about this until my coworker was like, don't do that. The response overwhelmingly has been positive from people being like, wow, good for you. Like
from
cool.
People or guys that you're interested in?
Guys that I'm interested in. Like this one guy in particular that I think we went on like 4 dates, 5 dates maybe. And like the night that I met him, he offered to buy me a drink, and I was like, soda water with lime.
And, fun stuff.
He was like, oh, okay, cool. You don't drink? And I was like, yeah, no, it's just, you know, no. And then on like the second or third date, he said that he had gone out with his friends the night before and just didn't drink, like just to try it. Like he seemed
like this guy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I'm spreading gospel.
Yeah.
I was like, join me.
Okay. Do you have any more?
Well, okay. So you say you went on four or five dates with this guy. So I assume that sort of didn't end up being anything.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It didn't go.
Was that your choice or was that your choice or was?
I guess it was his choice, kind of. Like I was game, but he also lives in a different city. And it was like a thing where like, I felt like, oh, seems like you're pulling away, and asked what was up. And
sure,
he was
sure.
Like, yeah, no, I'm not really in a place for this right now. So,
and just one last quick question before we get into it. Have you dated any other guys for any significant period of time since that guy?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay. So am I going first? I strongly agree with your coworker.
Okay.
Andy is nodding in agreement too. I know.
I hate to do this.
You're talking, by the way, to two very light drinkers.
Yeah, and I'm not encouraging alcoholism. Yeah. Neither of us are here.
Yeah, we are actually hardly ever drink. Truly.
Yeah. Since pandemic, we've been like almost.
Yeah. I think, you know,
dry for
almost like maybe socially, you know, you'll go out and just have a few because you're like, oh, I can do this.
I've had in the entire pandemic, like possibly the same amount of drinks I've had on one decent bender a year ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah,
my point in saying that is truly we're on your team.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think people do drink too much, so too reliant on it, especially in social situations and dating.
This is what I will say. Alcohol has been the social lubricant for thousands of years, literally thousands of years, if not tens of thousands. I don't even know what was going on back in like 25,000 BC, but they were probably drinking, right?
I mean, alcohol was, people were drinking ale.
Yeah, there was a lot of ale.
Before there was water to drink.
Yeah. As soon as they figured it out, when like some caveman was going on a date, he's probably drunk first. That's my guess. But aside from that, it has been very difficult for many, many, many years for men and women alike to experience, you know, meeting someone out.
A stranger.
Exactly. Thank you. Meeting a stranger out in a social setting and engaging in some romantic overture and trying to push it forward. You know, very few people have the kind of guts or nerve to really do that effectively and smoothly in a sober state.
That said, I've got to say, she seems
like someone who can do it. This is the problem. You're doing the right thing, but you're in a society where it might not work. I applaud your whole not drinking thing, but this is what I will say. In my experience, in both online dating and meeting people in real life, I have found that if a girl doesn't drink, if she's stone cold sober and she's never going to have a drink, number one, it makes it a little more difficult to have that first engagement. It's a little tighter. And it's again, I'm biased.
And because it could be psychological, too.
It totally could be psychological. And I'm biased because I've always, you know, drinking has always been part of my socializing out, particularly when meeting women, to be frank. So that's an issue. But then the other issue is that I'm not like an alcoholic. I never have been. I've been at my worst, maybe a binge drinker, probably similar to you. Mm. Not ever like a serious problem. But the fact is that I don't need a woman that I date or meet out or whatever to be like pounding alcohol all the time. As a matter of fact, that turns me off. I don't want that. But the idea that I'm going to be with a woman who will never have a drink. So like we could be like out one day at a vineyard and we just sit down in the middle of the day on a vacation and have a wine, like not going to happen. Like we just, something really great just happened and we want to celebrate, want to have a glass of champagne or a couple of drinks, not going to happen. It puts a little bit of a damper and it creates some anxiety for me. And I'm sure many, many other men.
I agree with you as a female here. If I were dating a guy, I might feel a similar something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Continue.
No, I would love to hear your
perspective. I'm torn because Haley, like, we fully support your decision.
Yeah. But I want you to know that.
Yeah.
That's
important. Like, we're really on your team in the drinking.
It's a catch 22.
It is. But I agree. The mindset of it sort of being never
is a problem.
Mm. Yeah, especially if you don't mind that your partner does drink, which you don't, correct?
Yeah, no, I still hang out with my friends who drink, and I, like I said, and the other thing is, like, I'm hearing what y'all are saying, and part of me does feel like a bit of a rebel in some ways, because I think our society is so infused with the idea that alcohol is equal to so many of these things you're talking about, like relaxation and celebration and camaraderie. And I think what I've found so far in this like journey is that most of the time people don't know that I'm not drinking unless I like say something, like just out in a bar or whatever. Okay. Like most people aren't really checking out.
Sorry to interrupt, but when you're in a crowd, people don't know you're drinking. But if I'm with you as a partner, I'm going to know you're not drinking, right?
Yeah, sure. I guess it's like, I mean, like sitting at a vineyard and enjoying like everything else there is to enjoy about that vineyard, like the view.
What's
and
there
everything?
To enjoy
that
about
sounds...
a vineyard other than wine? I don't know what she's talking about. No, I'm just joking around. This is the thing. I don't believe in nevers. Like, this is what I will say. If you told me when we started dating or when I met you that you don't drink, period, I would immediately, and, you know, it's shame on me, but this is how I would and how probably a multitude of men would
yes.
think, is that you either have a drinking problem, had one, it's going to be an issue in the future, or you're not adventurous.
You're saying based on the dating profile where she's not there to explain it.
Based on the dating profile, or if I met her in real life, the first...
Yeah, but she could say, this is the decision I came to. It's not based, you know, she's able to
debunk. She can say whatever
that.
She wants, but I may form a prejudice. And not me, just any man. I'm just saying, yes, you're right. In person is easier, but on dating profile, it's going to be a real problem. But my immediate prejudice would be that either you have a drinking problem and it's going to become an issue later on, or you are not adventurous, or I'm just thinking logistically, practically, like I'm like, well, you know, I like to drink once in a while. Like I don't have a problem, and I'm not even a binge drinker, but like sometimes I really either need and or want to drink, especially with the person I'm with and love. And I'm going to think all those three things. And honestly, it's going to shut me down pretty hard. And I may be maybe slightly above average in that department, but I honestly think that 90% of guys are going to react negatively to that in today's society in America.
Unless you want to attract a guy who doesn't drink.
Correct.
Which is a different category, I think. For me, what I love about you, dear husband, is how brutally honest you are. That is a brutally honest opinion. That's, you know, he's not lying to you because it's not flattering to say.
But I'm not insulting her.
No, and I'm not saying it's not flattering on you, but it's true.
I'm very
clear on this.
What I'm saying is, if I wasn't clear on this, I wouldn't be so blunt.
Yes.
But I'm extremely clear. I've been in this situation many times with a girl who doesn't drink. And I honestly have been on dates with girls who don't drink. And it's been a little bit of an issue. Like it's hasn't...
Even subtly psychologically for you.
Yeah, and again, I want to be clear. This is very important, as you know.
Yes.
I know you agree. I'm not talking about like getting drunk all the time. I'm saying that maybe once a month you're willing to have a drink or two.
You're saying just for the guy to have that in the back of his mind.
Just have the door open a crack.
Yeah.
If the door is completely closed, that's an entire arena that's always going to be kind of a little elephant in the room, or I guess a baby elephant.
Yeah, again, unless you're looking for a partner who doesn't drink. But I agree with what you're saying. Andy and I don't really like the sort of never thing in general, in all categories, just because having just that door open a crack, that feeling of possibility changes the mindset of your partner drastically. And how they see you and categorize you in these crucial early stages where that's the difference between them going on a second or third date with you.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you,
what?
The night we met.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're like, I wasn't drinking and I didn't buy you. I bought you drinks and I was drinking seltzer And the next day at brunch, I didn't have a drink. And then that night, I didn't have a drink. How do you think it's possible that we wouldn't be together today?
Oh, the fact that I'm even hesitating is saying something. Mm-hmm. And it's just because I feel like you're right. I might put a little stock in it. I'd be kind of like trying to define why that was, even if you explained that it was just no big deal. But I did date a guy casually for several months once who didn't drink. And it was not because he had any problems similar to you, but it was different from you in that he had never had a drink somehow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing.
Yeah, I think he was like in his mid to late 20s and he was totally normal in every way.
I love when people when people are like, I've met people who have never had a drink, many of them.
Yeah.
And I love when they're like, yeah, I just don't like the taste of it. I'm like, the taste? This is medicine. This is what gets you by in life. It has nothing to do with taste. Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, I will say with him, that wasn't the deal breaker, but it wasn't something that I was like thrilled about. Just because when I was out with my girlfriends, I wanted to invite him to come meet us and right. like us have a good time. And for me, it was about me, not about him and the fact that he wasn't drinking. It was that I felt like I kind of had an eye on myself because I felt conscious of the fact that I was on this track and he just wasn't even on the train with me.
Mm. She hates us.
I know, she totally hates us.
No.
No, but...
Can I answer her question, though? So to answer your question, and you can take our advice or throw it in the garbage, but I think it's just an unnecessary extra hurdle to say that you mm-hmm. don't drink unless, like we said, you're looking for a partner who doesn't drink. Just because it's one extra thing. You already have religion and politics and money and
also the abundance of choice.
Oh, the abundance of choice and all the apps and
even if it's just one tiny percent. Like if someone's scrolling through and they see never drink, that might be just enough.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
just be like,
it's just. And I know I understand your mindset. How it's like a filtration system. You know, you want to weed out the ones that would have a problem with that. But I guess our point in telling you our background is that neither of us are big drinkers and we wouldn't have a problem with it as a concept.
Right.
But just the thought of never, it's a very strong word, never.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly would almost encourage, and this is terrible, but I would encourage you to almost lie on your online profile and say sometimes and then explain in person, like, oh, by the way, I kind of don't ever drink. And so that they at least.
But not today.
Yeah, not exactly.
Yeah, it's just an unnecessary wall that you don't need. And dating is hard enough right now. Like, you
totally.
Don't need the extra hurdle.
And I kind of feel like you're proud of it in a way, and you should be.
I love that you're proud of it, especially
since she was a drinker. Like, if
yes.
someone's never drank,
all
like, whatever,
reason,
you're a weirdo.
Yes.
But sorry, that's not true. There's some non-weirdos who've never drank. So my point is that if you say online that you sometimes drink, you can sort of at least get your foot in the door and explain in person. That's my advice.
Yeah.
There.
Was that the direction you were expecting us to go in? I'm curious. Based on listening to those three episodes.
I kind of expected it from Andy.
What are you saying?
I didn't expect maybe quite as hard of an agreement maybe from me.
Only
because the people that I've talked to about this in like the intervening time since I sent that email, pretty much my female friends have like agreed that, yeah, it's no big deal. Like, do what you want kind of thing. And then my male friends and my mom have been like, don't do that.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, like girlfriends, there's no doubt they have your best interest at heart, but girlfriends are a little too
yes
nice.
Charlene
to each
is
other.
Not your friend. She's your acquaintance.
I am,
but she has no vested interest in pleasing you.
I am an unbiased party here, and let me tell you, if we were friends, this is what I pride myself is. I would still be honest with you about it, but maybe I would be a little more delicate. But you know, we're not texting all the time. We're not talking all the time. I can't find other ways to say what I mean. I want you to get the most out of your time calling with us and give you as honest an opinion as we can give you. And I think you just have to think about what the word never means, especially to a complete stranger who has a lot of options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if you want to commit to making it a lifestyle choice, you have to be willing to accept the fact that the person you date is also going to never drink. So you're basically closing your field to people who either almost never drink or never drink.
I think and I'm not saying you should limit your options, but I assume you also are open to meeting someone like you would love it if your partner never drank as well and all that. Like, yeah. It's sort of, you're just open in general. Yeah.
It's a lifestyle commitment. I mean, if you want to make a lifetime commitment to this, then I would say, yeah, say I never drink online. Say I never drink in person.
I never drink online.
And I have no issue.
And I want someone who also never drinks. Yeah.
The advice we're giving you should not be misconstrued as like you're doing the wrong thing in life. The advice we're giving you is you pose the question as like, is this going to hurt my dating situation? Right. And the answer is unquestionably yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
It is. That's okay.
Yeah. Unquestionably.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll find the man of your dreams as a result of it, but boy, will you have fewer successful dates. That's all I have to say.
Correct? Sorry, can I ask a follow-up?
Yes.
Yeah, a follow-up question. So in theory, if I went and changed things to say sometimes, or if I just took it off entirely, but I still, you know, I'm going to show up on a date and not drink, is it like, I guess I was trying to avoid the like sitting down at a bar and then being like, oh, I don't drink, tricked ya.
it's like a girl at the bar who like lets me buy her a drink. I mean, not now, like many years ago. Lets me buy her a drink and I buy her another drink. And she's like, oh, my boyfriend's almost here. I'm like, oh, sweet. So this is what I will say. I'll ask this question. Are you in any way possibly open to having a drink or two in the future?
I think I feel similarly to y'all that never is just such a crazy concept that like, I will not say never, but right now I just don't really see a good reason why. Like,
even one drink, just one celebratory drink. No, nothing.
I would take a sip of champagne as a like cheers at like, I'm going to a wedding this weekend. I will probably take a sip of champagne to be, you know, polite and cheers to the couple.
She's going to have a bender this weekend at this wedding.
Sorry?
She's going to go on a bender this weekend at this wedding.
No, I think that you are kind of overthinking that, to be honest. I think go on the date, get a cranberry juice or a sparkling whatever. You know, most menus now have non-alcoholic cocktails.
The finest Topo Chico.
And just put it on him to say something. You know what I mean? Just get your drink. You don't need to explain it. And if he does mention it, you can be like, I'm not really in the mood today. This is a stranger. You don't owe him anything. You do not owe this person an explanation as to why you're not ingesting alcohol on your first meeting with him. So just shelve it, like kind of move on. I don't think you should make a big deal out of it and just see what happens with that as a non-issue between you, as something he's not going to have as intel later on. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, agreed.
Haley, do you feel like we kind of answered your question, whether or not it was what you wanted to hear?
I appreciate the honesty, and because I think that I've been in my own head about this for a while, that I wasn't really seeing it from like the outside perspective of people who don't have a problem, but this would be a red flag for them.
Yeah. I almost feel like red flag is almost a little too strong. It's just, it's like an extra, like a little tiny weight on the scale, just going, no.
It's like when you go to the store and you like really want to like something and you like get it and you go and you see the line is like, there's like seven people in line and you're like, I don't care. And you just put it back.
Yeah. It's the reason like why you don't buy the snack you wanted.
Buy the Snapple or something.
Yeah, Snapple. Like, the line was just a bit too long. Yeah. It's not a real red flag or necessarily a deal breaker for the right person. It's just an extra little
friction.
Yeah,
extra piece of friction extra, in a world where people just have at their disposal 5,000 different women of the age and appropriate lifestyle that they're looking for.
Yeah, Yeah. But we love your choice. Like,
oh, yeah.
All in full support. It's I cannot
full
stress that enough.
Contradictory advice. Like, yes. Go forth, don't drink, and start drinking. A little bit. Here and there. Just a little.
Yeah, it's funny. The drinking thing really is a whole other level of compatibility because, you know, some couples end up disasters when they drink together.
Yeah.
But the goal is really to find someone who sort of sees this the same way you do. But nonetheless, if you're open to dating people who do drink with any kind of regularity, it's just not. You just, the word never, just get rid of the word never.
I agree. Yeah. Sometimes, instead
sometimes,
of never.
Sometimes, or just leave it off.
And just do a little soul searching and really think hard, unless you have already done it. Like, do I want to make this a lifelong thing?
And associate the word never with that.
A lifelong never. It's a big deal. I think you should really sit with that. And
just think about how a stranger would perceive that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't trust your girlfriends. Your girlfriends are always say the nice thing. They always say what you want to hear.
Except for the one who likes me. She's great. Oh, yeah.
She is great.
Yeah. But yeah, we're being brutally honest with you. And I'm sure you'll get varying opinions on this. But I do find it interesting that your platonic male friends and your mother are in agreement with us.
Yes. Do you like us less or more than you did before we started this?
I love y'all. Thank you so much.
Okay. So 1 to 10, if we were at a 10 before, are we like a 9, 8.5 now? Or
is this, just, yeah.
Just, you're
I
holding
need to
steady.
Be loved. Okay.
Holding steady
at 10. Okay.
Haley, thank you so much. We loved your question.
Yeah, that was great.
I think it is a great question.
It's a very good question. I think it's a question that should be asked all the time.
Yes. And that a lot of people will relate to probably, and they're sort of not sure of what direction to take. So, and maybe not about drinking specifically, but you know, other similar.
And we also live in a society that glorifies like heavy drinking, which I totally am opposed to. So it's a tough one.
So Haley, do you think you'll take our advice? And you can be honest.
I think I'll try it at least. I mean, I feel like with these apps, it's like, why not? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. How much does your very brief profile with just a couple of photos of you and a couple of facts really sum up who you are as a person anyway? Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Although I will say, being an excellent email writer, I feel like I'm very good at writing profiles as well. So.
I believe that you give good profile.
Yeah. You should have a profile where all your pictures are you partying with your friends and then say never drink.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun. I was so excited about it.
Great.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, nice to meet y'all.
Bye.
Nice meeting you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a pretty clear-cut case.
I think. That was easy work.
We agreed wholeheartedly on that. I just really feel like she's maybe thinking too much about volunteering that information to someone who she doesn't owe that information to.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not that early. And also, the word never, when you're considering... I assume she's looking for forever with someone. I don't know how seriously she's looking, but regardless, if you know whether it's a short-term relationship or a long-term relationship, especially if it's a long-term relationship, if you combine never and forever, that's like, you know, that's shutting a lot of doors.
Mm-hmm. I think that particularly in this day and age, it's a very bad time to cubbyhole yourself.
Yes.
In online dating, particularly online dating.
Yeah.
When there's such an abundance of choice, and particularly cubbyholing yourself in, you know, let's be honest, a place that's, you know, on the surface, not fun.
Yeah, that's the problem, is even though it's so wrong, it gives the impression of that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we live in a society where it is normal to drink alcohol when you're out and about and socializing, and certainly in dating situations. So it's like, why... You know, we've used every word. Why close that door? Why add that hurdle? All the things.
As much as I disapprove of the sort of the cultural acceptance of the wasted, you know, generation.
Yeah, like, let's get wasted. Yeah, I totally agree.
I also disapprove of the idea of just closing doors completely, unless there is a serious health risk.
Yeah. Just even saying that, even if that is what's in the back of your mind, that's just, you can cross that bridge when you get there, like maybe on date 3 or 4, when you really like the person and you can picture something with them, then maybe they are privy to that information. But I just don't think that it needs to be volunteered so early on.
Yeah,
personally.
I agree.
All right. Case closed.
Oh, I'm so wasted. No, just kidding. not wasted.
And so we have a second caller now. We've tacked this one on from a separate episode, and we thought it went nicely with the other one. So here's call number two. Our caller is Marie. Marie, why don't you give us your age and region and your story?
So I'm 26. I live in New York City, and I am the most single person I think I've ever known at this point.
Wow.
You should call Guinness. Maybe there's an entry for that. You think?
Probably. Okay. I feel like there is an entry for every Guinness.
Yeah.
Like everything you could.
You
think
could
of.
Just make a most single ever, and they'd be like, okay.
Not that you want to do that, Marie. Marie, tell us what's up.
So I'm 26. I'm a young adult. I spent my early 20s freelancing, working in theater and entertainment, sort of living this whirlwind life, not having any romantic or sexual or any experiences, and not really thinking about it until this year, where I got my first full-time job and an apartment I like, and sort of see my life settling down, really hit me that I'm very single. Like, I've never had a boyfriend or a partner or a girlfriend. My claim to fame is one blind date in high school that did not go anywhere. And after that, there's nothing. And I know some people are asexual or don't really experience romantic or sexual attraction, but I know that's not true for me. So I'm left with this sort of impossible conundrum of, I'm not old. Like, I think it would be pretty pompous for a 26-year-old to sit here and be like, yeah, my life is over.
Yeah. But I'm glad you recognize that.
Yeah, I'm glad you recognize that too.
That's good. You're ahead of your years in that alone.
Yes.
But I also realize that I'm inching closer and closer into late 20s. And the older I get, the more I see people around me, my friends, my acquaintances. I'm not on Facebook or Instagram anymore. Thank God.
Nice.
I think I would.
Power move.
That is a power move. We're impressed with you.
Yeah. Great for my sanity.
Well, there's a lot of questions to be asked.
Yeah, a lot to unpack.
Well, you say you know you're not asexual, so I assume you have had interest in people before. What's the story there? Like, why not? Why not just see?
Yeah, so I've had crushes. Like, I've seen people and I've thought, that person's attractive. I would say the vast majority of the time, even when I have the initiative to strike up a conversation or try and push past that a little bit more proactively, that person is either already taken or like is flattered but not interested. And I'm on the dating apps too, which sort of feels like the most proactive thing any of us can really be doing right now in this current moment.
Agreed, yes.
But even then, sort of pushing for conversation, not even meaningful, just like interesting conversation, feels like pulling teeth. I'll match with these men and nobody really wants to talk.
Yeah.
Do you want to go or do you want me to ask my next probing question?
I guess my first question is do you have a type or are you very open to kind of a wide?
Yeah. I'm curious too. Has it been a similar thread in the kinds of people you've been interested in and with whom it hasn't gone anywhere, or has there been variety there?
I would say before life kind of went completely virtual. Oh God, this is a little candid. Basically, like, skinny white guy who's kind of artistic was the type and sort of like the man I ended up pining for most of the time. But even the most recent example, like, we're great friends, and the entire time I've known him, he has been aggressively in a relationship. And it's gotten to the point where I wouldn't want to jeopardize that.
Nor should you. Yeah.
Like, has there been a guy that you've kind of been obsessively like, I want this guy, and I'm going to wait around until this becomes available, or I'm going to do what I can to get this guy. And has that precluded you from possibly being out in the field at all during the last 6, 7, 8 years?
I like that question.
That's a good question. And I would have to say no. Like, I think I spent a lot of time in my early 20s kind of questioning a lot of things about myself. Like, even though I would say my type is sort of this like artsy sad boy that hasn't always necessarily rung true. There was a moment where I was like, am I interested in women? Like, and
how do you know you're not?
I guess I don't really. Like, I've just never.
Marie, I'm interrupting you right now. 26. It's both young and not young at the same time. I really feel 26, in 10 years, you're not going to look back and be like, damn, I'm glad I never put myself out there. And I'm glad I never put the time in to figure out what my sexuality was and what my type specifically was. Or, you know, you are sweeping under the rug from what I can gather. And you can totally disagree with me if I'm wrong, but you're sweeping under the rug like a pretty big chunk of the pie.
Yeah.
I kind of questioned whether I wanted, I won't go into too much detail, but I have had experiences where I've been, I wouldn't say forward, but I've been flirtatious with women.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to garner any interest from that party either. And I want to like put a big sort of asterisk in that, like, I don't think I am entitled to anyone's attention, romantic or sexually. Like, there is no bitterness. It just like has, I just haven't been in the same time or room or space with another human that seems interested in me in the way that I am interested in them. And
can you say the number of times that has happened?
I guess
we're talking less than five.
Less than five, like definitively. Okay. Like, there have been
that's
other
a very, 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 very low number.
Yes, that's a very small number. If you said 50, I'd be like, okay, then there's something.
Five should be like one weekend.
Genuinely, I do agree with you on that, and especially the women thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what setting you were maybe flirting with women in, but unless you're in a setting where that's clearly the
right
what's happening,
I
wouldn't if the men are also in that five, all I'm saying is, wow, you were really aiming for a very high success rate if you think this is a failure.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One is, one way or another, you need to break the seal. Like, that has to be done. Like, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying go to lengths that are really absurd. I'm not suggesting anything really drastic here. But break the seal. That's your goal. And that has to happen soon. Like, you can't just be like, yeah, I'll get around to it. Today I'm going to go watch some movies. Tomorrow I'm going to read some books. Like, do your things, but you got to get this out of the way. I think this is the biggest hurdle right now, is just getting over. Like, I don't think you have it in you to even do anything. I think you think it's like, you know, winning the Olympics at this point. It's not. You can do this. You can break it. Along those same lines, I guess I'm curious, are you held back by the fact that you're just not interested in certain people who seem like they might be available, or are you held back by shyness?
I think it's just like a big old shitstorm of a lot of those things all together. Like, I'm pretty naturally a shy person. Like, I don't do the best at bars or parties. I still go to both of those things. Like, I have friends, I have a social circle. But it takes a lot for me to look at a person and approach them. And I think, especially when I was younger, I fell into the trap of, a lot of people in my life have given me the pretty good advice of, well, if you build it, they will come. If you will find the person that is right for you sort of in the right moment, which mm-hmm. I think in some ways is true. But I've also thought that exact same thought, thinking it was true for the past 26 years. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, sort of like that breaking the seal. And I've been binging dating shows, and so there have been so many moments where the contestants are like, wait, you haven't had a relationship in 25-26 years? That's a huge red flag. And just right. my anxiety is like, oh god, that isn't gonna be me, that is me.
Well, you are doing a podcast now with someone who I assume you're a little nervous, right? Or there's some nerves. So you seem very personable and delightful, right?
Yes.
I was expecting you to be like weird, Not weird in a good way, like weird in a bad way.
Well, and based, I mean, the only thing we knew about your call was that you were 26 and you've never been in a relationship, nothing. And, you know, and in New York City, that's, I think, a kind of, that's a crucial detail.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a factor.
But.
What?
No, but I'm saying, like, she...
I know. Our point is that you... There is no reason. And Andy's right. I feel like you... The fact... Just the way you thought about that, you were like, oh, I have... My anxiety goes through the roof because I am that person. Just... I think you have to stop thinking about this as this red flag potential area. And just break the fucking seal.
Yeah. This is not... This is life or death. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying go out, have fun, see what happens. I'm saying literally get dressed in whatever most provocative thing you have. Get out, go to every... Oh, shit. Pandemic.
No, fuck. Pandemic.
Fuck,
well,
pandemic.
That's why she has to be more aggressive on the apps.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
Okay. Scratch that for now, unless you want to really, you know, roll the dice with the coronavirus. But yeah, be as aggressive as humanly possible. Don't make this a thing like you're going to try to do this. Make this a thing like set a goal. Like, if in a month I haven't had some meaningful experience with my sex or the opposite sex, just make believe like there's a death sentence.
I
like,
do think
after
that there
30
needs-
days, you get you will be killed if you haven't achieved this goal. You have to get this done fast. I don't mean to be a jerk, but you are not what I thought. What I thought was going to happen in this podcast was like going to be like, how am I going to like sort of dance around the fact that this girl has a terrible personality? You know, and I'm just to be perfectly honest. But now I realize you don't at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm annoyed. You're pissing me off. You have to get this done. There's no other advice that you can be given at this point. This has to be the first step. There's many, many steps after you get this first step done. And we don't have to go into details about what the first step is, but it could be a variety of things. I could draw some pictures and stuff if you want. But get it done. Then once you get that done, your confidence is going to go up a little bit. And then I think you're going to be able to do that again faster and better. And then you're going to get to the point where you're going to actually have kind of a potential relationship with somebody.
Yeah. I want to insert two things while you're on a roll. Remember what you're going to say. The first is that you are not special in this. Hate to break it to you. I have tons 100%. Of female friends and male friends who are trying to date, and the people they're into aren't into them, and it's like they kind of like someone, but they're in a relationship. It's this constant song and dance. I think the difference is, like Andy said, that you just never got that. You never ripped off that Band-Aid at an earlier age to the point where that snowball would continue to snowball, and you would just have more experience and therefore less qualms about putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two is, I do think confidence is your problem in this, based on this limited interaction. You can disagree with me if you think I'm wrong. But what Andy is saying is true. I feel like part of the ripping off the Band-Aid is accepting that rejection is a part of dating. It doesn't happen to only some of us. It happens to all of us. And it's very rarely as personal as you think it is. Truly. And especially now, like, oh my God, pandemic dating. And in the age of just apps where no one meets in person anymore. So get rid of that unique snowflake mentality in this regard, because it's not you.
Yeah. I, by the way, one of my closest friends is 50.
Okay.
And hasn't had a relationship more than 5 days his entire life.
This is 100% true.
He's literally twice as old as you, and he hasn't had a relationship for more than 5 days. I would love to say his name because he deserves it, but I'm not going to do that.
And he's also—it's partially by choice.
Oh, he's a mess. But
endearing mess.
But he also has such high standards. He like only wants to date. Super
yeah, that's
high.
He's yeah. An absolute he's that's disaster. The issue with him is that he goes for people that are not in his league.
Out of his league.
Yes.
Consistently.
Yes.
And that, but I think what happens
the point
is
you've got another double of your age before it becomes the kind of
there
thing people talk about on
podcasts. There are way worse examples out there than you. Trust me. I know some of them. And so does Charlene. But what you've allowed to happen here is a monster has been created. At first, it was a little problem. And then you've slowly allowed it to become a monster. And that is your fault.
I can't tell you how many people have written in their questions. And we're talking like short story level emails where it's very long. And then I say, oh, you know, we'd love to have you on. And they don't want to come on. They're too shy to come on to talk to us, even with a fake name and whatever. So my point is that you were way more outgoing than I think we were expecting based on the fact that you have never been in a relationship. But I agree with Andy, you have allowed a monster to be created where you yourself admit that there is anxiety around that. You said that it could be seen as a red flag. Like, you can see the way you regard this side, this like gaping hole. It's one thing if you don't see it as a gaping hole and you're like, whatever, I know that I don't want to be in a relationship, but that's not how you feel about it. So unfortunately, this is a moment that requires action, and it's because you want that change. Do you know what I mean? If you were just like, I don't feel like dating, I know that I don't want a partner, then that'd be different. But you're talking to us right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that you're on this podcast takes away any mystery about you actually really wanting to have a partner. So that's that. We could take that off the table. You want this badly.
Right.
I mean, you have to. Why are you talking to us? This is absurd.
Yeah.
You want this badly, unless you're just a big fan of Charlene and this is a ruse. We've had people on here as a ruse. One person. There was a ruse. Anyway, that's ignore that. My point is that you want this badly. You can get this and you need to get it. There's no other real advice we can give you. Like, if you have a lack of confidence, a lack of confidence will be cured by doing exactly this. Mm-hmm. And it will build. Your confidence will build exponentially as you experience more experiences.
I also want to add one thing, and I'll give us a timeout in case you want to insert something. We've been talking for a while.
Actually, it's the opposite. Something needs. Never mind.
Do you have? Sorry, do you have anything to say before I resume?
No, I mean, I guess the other thought I've been having is that, like, I think, like, characterizing it as this sort of monster that just gets bigger and bigger, sort of my own making, is pretty accurate. Because this, like, I've gotten into this rut, like at the beginning of quarantine and sort of at the beginning of this year, I was like, great, like, this is my year. I'm going to like do the hobbies that require other people thing. I'm going to go to the bars. Like, I took an improv class. Of course, the first day we went around, every single man mentioned his girlfriend and I was like, cool. Okay. Like, but who knows?
What kind of a guy goes to an improv class when he already has a girlfriend?
Yeah, that's a good point. What else is the point of going to an improv class?
Okay, anyway. So what you're saying is that this year was going to be your year and then COVID.
And so my roommate was like, look, like, we got to turn the ship around also. So we did like a photo shoot for my online dating profiles. Like, there was a level of commitment in sort of
It sounds like an 80s montage.
It totally does sound like an 80s montage. Was there music? Was it a montage?
I wish it would have been. I was wearing like a sunflower overall dress, which felt very 80s, except I am not Molly Ringwald.
Neither am I.
Neither am I. No. Okay, so what you're saying is you've put yourself out there in these little ways, but I will maintain that doing a photo shoot for your online dating profile, while a nice start, is not actually cracking that seal. Mm-hmm. You're like you're like dancing around the seal. You're not actually cracking it.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but you're going to have to just kind of, it's not going to be your dream scenario. It's going to be something less. and I compare this to rebounding after a really bad relationship, right? So like, you get dumped, and this has happened to me. I know the experience. You get dumped. And by the way, that's something that you can look forward to, is getting dumped. That's a really wonderful time. But just watch out. If you want to get into these relationships, you're going to have one that goes bad. So I got dumped, and like, my confidence was below the great abyss. I was just devastated, gutted. And I couldn't even like look at a girl. I was a mess. And that's the place I feel like, you know, you kind of maybe are right now. Mm-hmm. And the thing that actually saved me from that is I was just like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to let this be my master. And I just went up to some girl who whatever. She was fine. And I was like, I'm having sex with this girl, period. That's how I'm going to do this. And not to be blunt, but this is how you rebound. You're just like, find someone who is willing to enjoy your company in an intimate way.
And who you enjoy.
All right, maybe
a
little bit.
Don't make it sound like...
No, it's a little bit enjoy, yeah.
Or
not that much. It doesn't have to be that much.
No, someone who she's into, but I don't think it has to be your dream person.
Not even that into. Just fine, whatever. Like, yeah,
well, don't encourage her to go have like casual sex with people that she's not even into.
This has to get done. There can be no standards. This has to get done.
I do think you need to find the right balance. Like, it sounds to me like you've traditionally waited to be into someone. And then when that one person you're not into doesn't reciprocate, I don't get the impression that you would put yourself in that position again lightly. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly the cycle. Like, I like someone every once in a blue moon. It doesn't work out for whatever reason. I'm like, well, check that off my list for the year. I guess I'll go do something else. Like, I think the biggest roadblock for me lately has been framing it. And I've been saying this ad nauseum, like every other facet of my life, the only person whose approval I need is myself. Like, if I don't like my job, I can try and go get a job, asterisk, middle of a pandemic. Maybe not the best plan, but that's something I have agency over. If I want to build a deeper friendship with someone, I have agency over that to an extent. If I want a closer relationship with my family, if I want more hobbies, like I have jurisdiction over that. And for some reason, when I think of relationships, I just can't get over the like, you need someone to reciprocate that in like a meaningful way. And I know that can build, but that's been the biggest block in my mind. Like, I can't, you know, if I want to be a better runner, I can go out for a jog this evening and start.
So it's the dependency, would you say? The need.
Are you a control freak at all?
Yeah, you kind of sound like a control freak.
Take it easy. I just suggested it.
I don't think I am. I think it just kind of goes back to the confidence thing where, like, I think a lot of people sort of happen into a happenstance for something romantic or sexual happens early on and that kind of snowballs. And that didn't happen for me. And so my mind is just like, great. Like, clearly the bar has been set higher for you. Like, if you're going to do this, you really need to make sure that this other person is into you. Like, it's a weird mental block because there's just no other information in my brain to draw from.
I'm glad that you recognize that's a mental block because that's really all this is. Rejection is an inherent part of dating.
Uh-huh.
Whether that happens 2 years into the relationship or just like at a bar, it is part and parcel. You cannot achieve partnership without the risk of rejection. And I feel like even how you're going about the online dating thing, like, you know, you mentioned the photo shoot thing. I think that, like you said, you're going back to that mindset of like, if you build it, they will come. So you're sort of trying to put yourself out there in the least, in a very risk averse way, where you're just hoping someone will see your photo and be like, she's the one. And then it'll be like, there was nothing ever, you know, you never had to put your toe into risk territory.
But this is what's to be expected. To be fair, you're unbelievably unexperienced. So she's going to fall into those early stage pitfalls of what like a, you know, idealistic teenager, late teenager romantic would think. That's why I'm saying it needs to be broken completely.
Yeah,
it can't
I agree
be broken with,
that.
With it. You have to break this with malice. I can't stress that enough. I know I've said this like 10 different ways, but I don't know how you're hitting on guys or girls. I don't know what your style is. Like, is it playful? Are you joking? Are you touching them? Are you like, how overt is your flirting?
It's not. It's.
I have a feeling it's very
subtle. I think
subtle.
It's extremely
yeah.
subtle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting the feeling that like, if you were hitting on me, I would have no idea.
So this is the thing.
To be honest, that's exactly.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is the thing. And this is going to hurt. It's going to suck. You're going to have to take some lumps going through this process, but you're going to have to be a lot more flirty. You're going to have to be a lot more like, this is, welcome. Like this is if, you know, I'm not saying to everybody, I'm not saying just walk down the street and just find the first guy, but I'm saying that you have to be extremely receptive and make that extremely known to whoever you're talking to. Don't try to play it cool. Don't try to play it subtle. Just set aside all your like walls. You probably have walls because you feel like you're going to get hurt. So you're immediately putting up walls, even in a flirting situation. Get rid of those walls, get rid of everything. Almost be in like a meditative state. Like I will receive, if I am rejected, I will receive it with love and move on to the next thing.
Yes, you have to see the rejections as information. You know, especially if it happens routinely with a certain kind of person, that is information that you can apply to your future 100%. Decisions.
And getting back to the 80s montage, you basically have to do an 80s montage for 30 days of like getting rejected and finding a guy
or
a
girl. And I also just want, because I know that people will listen to this and be like, oh, but you talk about being chased. Mm-hmm. The chasing thing applies only when you have met in person. Truly.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
100%.
I don't think you can just put your online profile up and think it's going to happen that way.
100%. Good point.
I don't know anyone for whom that happens in today's dating climate.
Yeah.
You have to go into the risk territory.
Sorry, are we being too hard?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I can't use kid gloves on this because I know that you can get this now. As before I met you, I didn't know this. Now I know you can get this. You have to get it, and you have to get it fast and furiously.
Don't stop.
Don't listen to her. I'm telling you, set yourself a short time frame and get it done. I don't care what form it takes, 30 days, this has to get done. I'm serious. Because what's going to happen is it's so easy when you have an insurmountable task, and I've experienced this in my life so many times, you're just like, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'll do a little bit here, but that's enough for today.
Do you relate to that?
And then 10 years go by and you're like, well, how did that happen?
Okay, so you do relate to that mindset with the dating. Okay. Are you going to listen to us?
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason I wrote and the whole reason I agreed to be on was that as much as I love my friends, as much as I love my family, like the fact that I'm this single is not a secret to anyone. I don't necessarily advertise it, but it's not really something you can hide.
Yeah. Also, I don't think it's that uncommon.
It's not that uncommon, but it is curable if the person really has the desire to fix it.
Yeah, but just for the record, Marie, I've gotten several emails along the lines of, you know, am I being too picky? Why hasn't this happened for me? I've never had that. And sometimes you can gather and maybe it's they're too passive or they're too risk averse or they don't, you know, they are afraid of rejection or they are aiming out of their league, which is also a very real thing. But I think you gotta.
She's on a fact finding mission for the next 30 days. That's a euphemism for what this is going to be. But I think of it like you're a missionary. You're like on it's a sabbatical. You have 30 days to learn all about this thing. And this is what it is. It's not, you know, I'm not trying to say this is some like, you know, you're just going to go screw anything that moves for the next. That's not what I'm saying. This is an information gathering thing. And you have to be extremely receptive, you know.
And unflappable.
Yeah. Yes. That's the only way.
You can't take it personally. Remember, it's part of dating. It's not, it's very rarely you.
Yeah. You just have to be willing to take everything you get and to learn from it and to act accordingly as you learn. But
it sounds like you do in every other arena of your life.
Yeah, that's the thing. It sounds like you do.
Yeah. I mean, I came on sort of knowing I needed a little bit of a kick in the ass because it's this like self-confidence thing where I've like walled off this part of my life and I've convinced myself that like sort of like eased myself into indifference or like comfort, making these not superficial changes, but these easy changes of like, oh, I made a nice new profile. Like the magical cute dude I've been waiting for will just apparate into my life and not really doing the nitty gritty of like the bad dates and the awkward texting
yes.
and
yes.
all. Mm-hmm.
And you have the self-awareness to say that.
I know.
And to know that. That's why I'm pissed off.
But I almost feel too, though, the self-awareness is in a way what has, she's been overthinking with each passing year and with each sliding doors moment, or you can call it rejection. You've put too much stock into each of those moments, from what I can tell.
Yeah. You got to remove the shell. You're going to take some hits, but it's going to be so worth it.
Yeah. That's information and nothing more.
It's a crash course. You have to basically do like a few years in a couple months. And I don't want to put you into a panic, but what the reason I'm saying 30 days is not because necessarily it has to be 30 days. Obviously, that's a lot to ask. But I'm just saying that you cannot put off anything. This should be your primary goal, because I think it's a part of your life that's missing, and it's a part of your life that you really want. If you were just like, I kind of would like to see what it's like to have a boyfriend or something, then I'd say, all right, whatever, who cares? But you really want this, and I can tell. And because of that, you have to prioritize this over everything else right now. Get it out of the way. I want, by the time your 27th birthday rolls around, I don't want you to be able to have this kind of conversation.
Yeah, ooh, that was, I really did want you get, that too.
Did you get the kick in the pants you wanted? I feel like that was a very, very hard. I mean, we just gave you some hard.
I believe in her. If I didn't, I would just be giving you rote advice. I would just be like, go out there, date, check it out, see what's happening.
Yeah.
I believe in her.
Yeah. We are pretty much saying put yourself out there, but actually do it. Not passively. Actively do it. Yeah, sorry. No. I there's nothing else I can.
You're not going to get the skinny white artsy dude.
Really?
Right out of the gate. That's all I say. You work up.
Is that the ultimate goal? Well, yeah, but it doesn't even sound like that's really her type. It just sounds like she has sort of ended up liking them. It's not that
that's the only guy she's going to date. I'm making a joke. So she did say at the beginning. I'm just saying that, you know, whatever skinny, white, or other ethnicity, artsy guy that you're looking for, that's not going to happen right out of the gate.
Yeah, and the point being that don't wait to feel like totally swept away by someone to consider them worth pursuing.
I want you to be completely nonplussed. I want the first guy to be like, ugh, whatever, fine. That's what I want. But that'll mean that you really put in the effort. I'm not kidding.
So you are going to listen to us?
Yeah. I mean, God, I'm on Coffee Meets Bagel, and I had a conversation with someone sort of saying about how, like, now I have all of this extra information that I can arbitrarily judge people on, which sounds terrible, but just all the stuff I don't think about in person is just there. And it's even more of a crutch to just be like,
what
is it, left, right? Like,
muscle memory.
The muscle memory, yeah. Not that I've ever done that.
Yeah. I think that one of the issues with the apps is all that information. You know, there is just so much to observe and fabricate about a person based on forms they fill out and their photos. And I feel like you need to read less into that and more into getting a face-to-face coffee date.
Mm-hmm.
Actually meet the bagel.
Anything. Just get a date. It doesn't matter. As long as they have two legs. Just get a date.
Yeah, I do agree with Andy to that. You need.
They don't have to have two legs, by the way. They don't. Just don't have three legs. That's weird. Three legs is weird.
But yeah, rip off that Band-Aid, Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this was the kick in the pants I really, really needed.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. I feel good about that.
Yeah, I feel good about it too. And don't be afraid to follow up.
And yeah, follow up with us. We want to know.
Yeah.
Don't we can be here as your I don't know, like the your, what do you call that?
I'm leaving you hanging on.
Forget it. We're cutting this. I fucked up everything. Screw it.
Okay.
You'll put in something brilliant. Like just cut it and be like record me saying something else.
I love how you say I'll put in something brilliant. It's Gabby who will put in something brilliant. Okay, Marie. We wish you the best of luck and keep us posted. And don't let this kick in the pants be in vain.
Or there'll be another kick in the pants, harder. I will kick you in the pants again.
Well, Marie, thank you so much for calling in. We hope that this was the kick in the pants you were looking for. And best of luck out there.
Yeah, good luck. We're counting on you. Seriously.
Yes.
yeah, I'm gonna actually try.
Good.
Okay, good luck. Bye.
Bye.
So how do you feel about that one, Andy?
Well, that was intense. I mean, I feel for her. I know people in her position. And look, the fact is, like, we've all been there at some point in our life, right? It's like, it just matters what age it is. Sometimes it's 14, yeah. Sometimes it's 70. Like, yeah, you just don't know. Like, I remember when I was like, I can't get girls. Like, no matter what I do, I'm never gonna like have sex in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be a virgin at 100 and I'm terrible at this. Girls hate me. Like, everyone has that. So she just happens to be going through it at 26.
Yeah. And like you said, because in a way she allowed this monster to be created.
She is to blame. I'm not taking the blame. We both agree. Like, she let this become a monster.
Yes. Yeah.
She's not a monster for doing that, but she let it happen. And now she has to, by baptism by fire,
make up for
that.
It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and I think you were right. Like, I kept thinking, oh, don't put a hard time limit. But then when I marinate with that for a bit, I realize you're right, because she seems like the kind of person that will sort of push it off.
The worst thing you could tell that girl is take your time. You know, don't pressure yourself. Yeah, yeah. That's the worst thing
you
can
do. Well, that's why I did say 26. It's young, but it's also...
You're at the crux. You're like, you can still make it. You can still like have a good 20s, but you're getting to the back end of your
26 is old enough to know what you're looking for in a partner.
Yes.
Certainly what gender you want to date. Yeah. If it's one or the other,
sure.
You know, I think that there's a lot of self-discovery that has to happen there, and no one can do that but her. And I feel like she's sort of willing it to be done partially by someone else. You know, she wants it to just sort of fall in her lap in a way. I know that might sound harsh, but I do think it's true.
And I also think she sort of, you know, indicated that when she talked about the other things in her life that she has control over. Like, she's like, I practice this. I'm good at it. I do this. This happens. And it's like,
she's used to being self-reliant and being dependent
only
on herself.
Because she's been that way all through 26. And, and she has to learn that, like, life, if she wants that aspect of life, she's going to have to let go of the control and just have the other person actually accept her. And that takes a lot of, you know, shedding of what is probably thickened on her exterior.
The definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
And I mean, as taking photos for the profile is nice, but it's actually, you're just replacing other photos you already had there. You're not actually doing the different
But you're
thing.
Also expecting like an algorithm's going to fix your problems. You have to do it yourself.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what photos you put up there. You have to be the arbiter of your future.
And if the algorithms really were that great, then everyone who wanted to be in a relationship would be in a relationship right now.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to do the work. It's hard work. It's really hard work. But like, I really hope she listens. And I hope something happens in the next month.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to get some hate on this. Like, oh, why are you forcing her to go out and do this stuff?
Do you think so?
Somebody. You know somebody's.
Someone may not write it.
They're going to think it.
Someone will find a way to be offended by what we've said here today.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure.
I really stand by our advice to her. Yeah, the fact that she's even calling in.
That's what I said. It's like, if she was like sort of, you know, ambivalent. She was just like, I get a relationship. I'm saying, not, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, do whatever. This is what I suggest, but do what you want.
Yeah.
In fact, she's on our podcast.
Yeah.
I think we told her what to do, and I hope she does it. I'm rooting for her hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you're especially rooting for Marie.
Yeah, I think she can do this. I believe in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for this episode of Dear Shandy. We hoped you enjoyed the truths. We gave some like solid truth.
I think so.
Hope it wasn't too harsh. we'll see if people are offended by how harsh we were. But if you enjoyed how harsh we were, you can show Dear Shandy your love by leaving us an iTunes review and giving us stars. Many stars.
So many stars.
Thumbs upping, liking, subscribing, all the things you do to express your love for little podcasts that you listen to. Mm-hmm. And on that note, thank you guys for tuning in to Dear Shandy, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Dear Shandy.
Hey guys, this is Wells Adams.
And this is Brandi Cyrus.
We do a podcast called Your Favorite Thing Podcast. Basically, we talk about our favorite things. So like our favorite binge-worthy shows.
Books we're reading and of course, music we're listening to. Sometimes we have on some of my musical family members like Noah Cyrus.
Of course, we also talk Bachelor stuff because I'm the bartender in paradise.
You can find our podcast wherever you're listening to this podcast.
It'll be your new favorite thing. Oh, I got it in there.